Billionaire Elon Musk bought Twitter this week, and that can mean some big changes to the platform. Musk has criticized some of Twitter's content restrictions and decisions to permanently ban certain users. Going forward, he says he wants to see the site embrace a less restrictive version of free speech. We're talking about how Twitter could change under its new ownership and why it matters even if you don't use the platform. David Kaye is a professor at the University of California, Irvine School of Law. He's the former United Nations Special Rapporteur on the Freedom of Opinion and Expression. He's the author of the book Speech Police, The Global Struggle to Govern the Internet. David, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. It's great to be here.
Before we dig into possible changes coming on Twitter, for someone who doesn't use Twitter, and that's a lot of people, it's nowhere near as popular as your Facebooks of the world, they might say, so what? I don't tweet. Why is this something that might affect their lives anyway?
Yeah, that is so true. I mean, Twitter is a much smaller platform, fewer users by orders of magnitude than YouTube or Facebook, but it has enormous influence. You know, it's populated, its user base is a lot of journalists and politicians, and a lot of that feeds into public media, to the media more generally, and really has a big influence on public debate in a way that oftentimes Facebook, which is a little bit more insular, often doesn't have the same impact.
All right, so here comes Elon Musk. What has he said about Twitter in the past that might give us a sense of what kind of changes he might make?
He's been very critical of their, basically of their content moderation rules. So, I mean, to step back a little bit, All of the companies have rules that determine, you know, what's legitimate online and what's not. So they have rules around things like privacy protection. So you can't, publicize somebody's home address, in order to harass them. Or, you know, they have rules against hate speech, against COVID disinformation, and so forth. And I think the idea that Elon Musk has had, and he's been suggesting this for some time, is that those rules are onerous on free speech. And he has a conception of free speech that suggests that, you know, the individual speaker, the person who is actually posting a tweet, who is replying, who's engaging, is really the focal point of those rules and should be more or less unconstrained in what they say.
Now, I think we've seen on the internet what happens when you have complete lack of moderation. There's spam and porn and porn spam and abuse and threats and like lots of bad stuff if you have a completely unrestrained landscape, whatever your platform. Is the thought that this could go that far, like just wide open, anything goes?
Well, I think we don't know. You know, we don't know exactly what Elon Musk means when he says, you know, there shouldn't be any more censorship on the platform. I think for me, the question really is, what is free speech online? And he keeps talking about free speech with the sense of it being about, you know, the individual speaker, a kind of First Amendment mentality, which is fine for the United States, but it doesn't really account for the way in which these rules actually try to promote speech. I know that sounds paradoxical, right? I mean, they create these rules to limit, in some respects, what people can post, but what they're really trying to do is create space so that people, for example, won't be harassed off the platform, so that those people have room to speak and won't face the kind of hate speech or misogyny or racism that might, you know, push them to another platform or push them off entirely. So the rules are really designed to expand the usability of the platform. And if Elon Musk is saying, you know, those rules are too onerous, I think we could head in the direction that you're describing.
You've talked elsewhere about one value you hope will be part of this change is transparency, how the rules work, why decisions are made. What could that look like?
Yeah, I mean, this is one area where it's possible that Musk could be a force for good, because he has talked about transparency of, he calls it algorithmic transparency, but it's really the transparency of how the company decides what you see in your newsfeed, essentially. And there's actually a lot of room for growth by Twitter, by Facebook, by YouTube, to be more transparent about the rules that they make to, you know, both to take down content, but also to promote it, because it's really quite opaque. So I think there is a possibility that Elon Musk will come in and he'll say, for example, it needs to be clearer to users exactly how this platform works. And that would be positive. That would give people insight into the platform in a way that might encourage them either to be more or less active. So there's that possibility. But, you know, there's also the possibility that, you know, he's really only talking about giving people insight into the algorithm, whatever that means. And I don't think we fully understand where he would take it in terms of transparency.
We're talking to David Kaye from the University of California, Irvine School of Law, author of the book Speech Police, The Global Struggle to Govern the Internet, looking at billionaire Elon Musk's purchase of the social media platform Twitter, what it means there, what it means for the rest of us, even if we don't use Twitter. You've also said that you hope Musk thinks of Twitter not necessarily as just a public square, but in some ways as a public broadcaster. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. I mean, look, Twitter, I think your initial question highlighted this. I mean, Twitter is not the place where everybody gathers in a kind of traditional public square kind of setting. But it is a place that is, in a way, broadcasting to the public. And so, in a way, rather than thinking only about the internal rules of the platform, my point about thinking of Twitter as a public broadcaster is to think about what is its impact on public debate? What is its impact off the platform? And, you know, that's an area where there's actually room for a lot of debate about, you know, whether Twitter is really, and all of the platforms, are encouraging a kind of sharing of information that has, you know, a kind of an approach that informs the public, much as, you know, as WPR, National Public Radio, might do. Now, it can't be totally like that because it is open to everybody. It can't have the same kind of editorial function that you might have. But, you know, it has that space to develop, to be more of a part of a kind of productive public interest medium for people to learn more about what's happening in their communities, in the nation, and also especially, and this is important because I think a lot of the conversation focuses on the U.S., the global use of the platform itself.
That sounds really hard to do because a lot of people spread misinformation on purpose or accidentally. Some people very deliberately spread disinformation. But then if I'm doing that and you cut me off, block my tweets, whatever, I think, wait a minute, how come you're not letting me participate in this public forum?
That's totally true. And content moderation is hard. You know, it is really an issue of figuring out what rules matter, but also applying them in a context that varies. You know, it varies from Wisconsin to California to, you know, where elsewhere where Twitter is popular. You know, think of a place like India or Turkey, and the company needs to understand the context for all of the debates that are happening there. And that requires, you know, quite a bit of education, understanding, and so forth. And unfortunately, the platform hasn't been very good at that, sort of its global perspective, but it does highlight just how difficult the endeavor of moderating all that content will be. And it doesn't seem like Elon Musk really understands that.
Now, Twitter has a reputation among some people for being kind of a nasty place with lots of harassment going on, things like that. So some people not even worried about losing what it is right now. Is there a kernel of good in Twitter that you think is valuable to the world right now and you hope is preserved or enhanced?
Yeah. I mean, I do think that Twitter has the potential to be a really dynamic platform and a platform for, you know, all sorts of marginalized voices, for reporters, for politicians to really share information. But it does need the rules in order to make it a place that is conducive, is constructive. And, you know, it could go back to where it was 5 or 6 years ago when people saw Twitter as a cesspool of, you know, neo-Nazism and racism and Islamophobia. And the rules and the application of those rules over the last several years has tried to tamp that down and make it more usable to people. But, you know, it's, I think the jury's out on what Elon Musk will do with the platform. But if he moves in a direction to get rid of those rules, I think it will make the platform just less usable to people in the United States and around the world.
Now, briefly, accusations of partisan bias. Conservatives say, hey, we're getting blocked more often. Some studies are saying misinformation is getting blocked and conservatives on Twitter, for whatever reason, are falling afoul of misinformation rules. What do you look at when it comes to a potential partisan leaning there?
Yeah, I mean, this is a problem in the United States, which is that these debates are so politicized. I think generally speaking, there are huge numbers of conservative voices on Twitter who have gained huge audiences on the platform. I mean, Ben Shapiro, for example, has something like 4 million followers. So I actually think that it's not a partisan issue as much as a question of whether the rules are being adhered to or violated by certain types of people. And certainly after, you know, the insurrection of January 6th and all of the concern that online content helped fuel that, I think that's just had a disproportionate impact on the right, but it's been based on a fair application of those rules.
David, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks so much, Rob.
That's David Kaye, law professor from the University of California, Irvine, author of the book Speech Police, The Global Struggle to Govern the Internet, with us today to talk about Elon Musk purchasing Twitter, the changes that could be coming to the platform, and how that could impact you, even if you're not on Twitter and never will be.